Welcome to Candidly 30.
No, we're not 30, but we're in our 30s, working through life.
Every week, we're discussing our favorites, our gratitudes, our grievances, and all the crazy in between.
Grab your favorite drink, get comfortable, because we're getting candid.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
To Candidly 30. This is Kelly.
This is Kayfler. What's up?
We have a special guest today. Really, who else is on the line?
Heyo, it's Denali.
Yay! She's honestly back.
I've been like feeling that a lot of our guests and listeners have been like really excited to hear from you again. You are our tried and true, the most seasoned guest that we've had in our podcast.
Yay!
And we are absolutely stoked to have you back. Welcome.
I'm excited to be back.
We're so excited to have you. Yeah, I think Kayfler dropped a little like hint the other day because she mentioned you on the pod the other day, and we're just so stoked that you were able to come back.
Yeah, I was like needing you in my life again.
Well, absolutely. Will you give us a little update? Will you tell us what you've been up to? We haven't got to talk to you for a few months now. What's been going on in your life? We did talk about your LCSW. Do you want to give us a little recap on that, taking the test and everything, and just been what you've been doing? What's the new haps?
Tell us the tea.
Absolutely. So yeah, I just passed my test. That was a huge deal. So now I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I know I talked about like how that works last time I was here. Well, I think the time before that actually. But yeah, so I finally passed the test. It was rough. It was 170 questions in 4 hours. And I don't know, preparing for it was difficult, trying to find different times to be able to study, but a lot of it wasn't really recall. It was more like looking at a situation and using your clinical judgment, really, on what you would do in that situation. And so I'm grateful for that because I didn't really have a lot of time to study going up to the test. My brother's been in and out of the ICU, like I was telling you. He's been sick. So that had happened like right before I went to go take my test. So I was really nervous. I actually I went and took it first thing in the morning, and then right afterwards I was back with him. But I don't know, that it just brought a lot of stuff to the forefront of like mental health just for yourself when you're trying to take a test, right? It's funny, I'm taking a test about mental health and like I'm struggling with my own. So yeah, I was really anxious. I was nervous. I was I just kind of got into this mindset of if I don't pass it, it's okay. I'm just, you know, I'm going to at least know how the test works. So when I take it the second time, I know I'll nail it the second time. So I was trying to stay calm throughout it. And I have ADHD pretty bad, so my focus is hard. I have to reread questions multiple times because my mind just wanders when I'm reading. And that happened too. And then there was also this guy like squeaking his chair like crazy. Oh my gosh. It was driving me nuts. And so I had to ask for those things, the little ear things that go inside your ear, and headphones. And so I had all of that. It thankfully locked the noise out. But then, yeah, and I kept like, I had this necklace for my daughter I was holding on to, and it was helping me like keep calm. And I was able to get through the test, and I really wasn't sure. I mean, I felt confident. I had it in my mind towards the end, like I'm pretty sure I nailed it, but I didn't want to get too overconfident. And then once I submitted and it said passed, I was like, oh my God, I did it. I was so excited.
Woo!
Yeah, it was so cool.
That's awesome.
And then I passed it by 21 points. Like, that was so cool. Yeah. So the test is out of 170 questions, but 20 are not scored. So it's technically out of 150. Mm. So I needed 103 out of 150 to pass, and I got 124. So like, that was pretty cool. I was so excited.
Crushed it.
Yeah, I crushed it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's incredible. Especially with all the things that were going on at the same time. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, we're very proud.
Yay! Yay! So that's the door's awesome. Open Absolutely. In a lot of ways now. Like, people are asking me, what am I going to do next? Am I going to stay working for the county? Am I going to go private practice? Like, what does that look like? And Right now, I love my population so much, and I think it would be hard to work consistently with the population I have if I went private practice fully, and you don't really get good benefits working private practice. So what I'm thinking is I'm going to stay on with the county and go the supervision route. And so I'm just gonna, in 2 years, I can be a supervisor, go on to be management, but I'll still get to work, with my population. And then I could always do private practice on the side. And then eventually I want to teach. So as I get more
I think that's
experience,
the
I want to
most
teach.
noble. Yeah, that's absolutely
Yeah.
amazing. Because, yeah, you could manage, you can, but in your position, wanting to enrich the people around you who are actively and directly accessing the population, like that is the most noble of pursuits. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's incredible.
teaching is one of the craziest because, oof, yeah, I just have so much respect for teachers because I don't know if I could ever do it. It's so hard and so challenging, and yeah, you have to really put
Yes.
your blood, sweat, and tears to into it. So that's incredible. That will be amazing.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm excited. That's definitely my route.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well
Thank
deserved. Well deserved.
yeah.
And we are just like absolutely over the moon thrilled for you here at the Candidly 30
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Other than that, what else have you been up to? Still in your club and everything?
Yep, still in my club. I don't know if I was fully patched the last time I think I was prospecting. I don't remember, but now I'm fully patched. And not only am I fully patched, I'm an officer in it. I'm the secretary, so
Ooh.
that's good. Yeah, and with that came a new set of responsibilities. So I go to some big meetings and I do different things with the club. So it's really fun. I really like it. I do in this role, I have to like know everyone's name and face, which is really hard for me because I'm horrible with names and faces.
Same.
Yeah. So I'm like, if I'm at a big meeting and I'm having to like, I'm having to take notes or whatever, and I'm like, ah, shit, who is that? And I have to like remember like. But it's okay. So it's fun. I like it. We ride a lot still. It's been winter, so I guess we haven't been riding as much, and
Yeah.
it's been raining too. So, but yeah, I'm doing the club still, and then I've just been spending time with Sadie. I don't think I yeah, I haven't talked to you guys since I went to Florida, I don't think, but I'm a huge Miami Dolphin fan. I took my daughter to go see the Dolphins in Florida. We beat the Raiders. It was a beautiful game, and it was so, oh my God, I lost my mind. Like, it was my childhood dream come true. The second I hit that stadium, I was like a fangirling. Like, it was crazy. I like lost my mind. And
That's so
Miss Sadie
sweet.
loved every second of it too because she was like taking my hype, So she's like, yeah, and we got in. And I was wearing a Merino jersey and she was wearing a Finkel jersey. I don't know if you remember Ace Ventura, but
Oh my gosh, yes,
yeah.
absolutely. Dan
She was.
Finkel.
So she was wearing the Finkel jersey and like everybody was loving it. It was so cute. So yeah, we had a great time and we went and saw a Pink concert while we were there because everybody knows my obsession with Pink. And so she got to be right up. We were right next to the stage. So she came and she waved at us and Sadie was all excited. It was so cute. We visited family
Oh,
out there
awesome.
and it was awesome. And then now I'm going to take her to Wisconsin for spring break and she's so excited. Yeah,
Oh,
I'm excited for her. Like, it's gonna be fun. I'm gonna bring a parka though, 'cause I'm gonna freeze to death. But yeah.
yes. I love. Quick update from us. I feel like we've been updating everybody recently. So, like, my house is closed. We are moving. All I'm doing right now is like packing things into boxes, trying to make sense of my move, and just getting ready for summer. Honestly, like, my life is a standstill until the weather gets past 50 degrees, and then I can actually engage with humanity again. Kelly, how do you feel?
My update is just that, yeah, I'm very excited for summer and I'm also moving. And just like I'm going to Ireland super soon. And so, yeah, I'm gonna go like boom, 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 Ireland, going straight into like birthday stuff, strawberry stuff, and then like music festival, music festival, music festival, music festival, summer. So it'll be a jam-packed summer. So yeah, I'm very excited. But Kaif, do you want to tell the listeners what we are going to talk about today?
Yes. On the pod? I am so excited. I'm like going to tell everybody this is exciting times because we have a guest. I am so excited to hear it. Nelly in your face. It's so beautiful. Thank you for coming. We're talking Am I the Asshole Threads again. Who is excited? I like low-key, I'm a little obsessed with these threads lately. Like in the last 6 months, I feel like I have felt pretty crappy about my career prospects. I'm excited in general about life, blah, blah, blah. But also like, it's kind of fun to hear the torment of the rest of humanity who are living through these very extraneous circumstances, and to be able to listen to them from a third party perspective and not have anything to lose or skin in the game, but to like listen to what's going on and actually take part in these conversations, it's been really captivating. Anyway, that's what we're doing today.
And, agreed.
Here we are with, I'm sorry, one of the best foremost experts on Am I the Asshole in my universe to date. So pretty excited about it. First and foremost, everybody picked two threads that we want to have conversations about. If we get to everybody, we get to everybody. If we don't, we don't. Danelli, we're going to start with you because you have the best stories, mm-hmm. the best advice, and the best eye to discern ship human behavior. So let's hear it. Let's start with you first. God,
that's a lot of pressure. Yeah. Jeez.
We're ready.
No, yeah. Build up, baby. Build up.
All right, so I'm going to start off with the first one. Okay, so the first one is, am I the asshole for getting mad at my ex for consoling me when I was drunk? Okay, so the backstory. 3 weeks ago, I broke up with my boyfriend because it was getting messy and we were not on the same page. He took it really hard and I've been extremely stressed out due to other personal matters. We have the same social circle, so when I decided to let loose at the bar the other night, he was there. I let a little too loose and kissed someone at the bar. My ex saw this and left. When I eventually got home, the drama from the night and everything else that had been going on in my life caught up to me, and I broke down. My ex called me to originally talk about my kiss at the bar, but he ended up coming over and consoling me instead. When I woke up the next morning, I was so angry he was there and felt like he took advantage of my vulnerability. I don't know if I'm in the right for being angry and telling him I regretted allowing his comfort, or if I'm just being an asshole.
I think that...
Ooh, do you want to take it first, Kaif, or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, you got it.
She could be angry, fine. Angry at herself for letting him in her house. At this, like, I get it. You're emotionally distraught. This is a terrible situation. You're obviously vulnerable. He may have taken advantage of you. I hope that it was consensual. If it wasn't consensual, that's a different story. If it is consensual, you can be angry. I just don't think that he deserves that level of blame. That's how I feel about it. But without knowing more or being directly involved in the
situation. I don't think consent was an issue there. I think it sounds like it was the vulnerability of just like her letting her guard down and him using that as an opportunity to like get back into the situation.
If he wants to insert himself into her personal problems, again, like problematic. I don't see that as a play in this scenario, unless that's, again, like without knowing extenuating circumstances. If it was just a one night thing, then I think that doesn't really absolve him from guilt. But it definitely absolves him from responsibility. I don't know the better way to say that. Like, it's definitely a mutual decision that they spent the night together. He just doesn't deserve her ire if it's something that she invited. if that was the truth of the situation.
Right. I would say that I think that she, even if she was like a little drunk, maybe she knows like deep down that she feels comfortable with him. And yeah, the vulnerability, definitely, like she did state that she was in a vulnerable state, but she feels comfortable enough with him to be able to be her full self with him. And even be able to him see her in like not her best light maybe, and still feel comfortable enough to like talk things through, and him still like want to be there for her and still show up for her, which I think is like a pretty big step for him and maybe possibly their relationship. And so I think, yes, maybe he was taking advantage of the situation and her drunkenness to come over and maybe be able to like talk about their relationship. But I do think that he wanted to like move their relationship forward or be able to use some part of her vulnerability in his benefit, yeah, in the fact and showing that he's like there for her and showing kind of like a bigger picture type of situation. And I wouldn't have taken it as like a vulnerability situation. I would have taken it as more of like him showing that he is there for her in more of like a wannabe in a relationship type of picture.
We're romantics.
I don't know.
And we're optimists at our heart.
I know.
Because like that would be great if it actually happened in real life. But it doesn't. So how true is the story on Reddit that we're actually reading? You know what I mean? Because any guy that I've ever
known. That's true. I also
wouldn't put up.
I would also say that I am more of a person that gives someone the benefit of the doubt. And this person may be more of like a realist and just be like, no, this person sucks. Like, I don't want to be with that person. Like, and maybe they know that person a lot better and know their real intentions and the real side of them or their real relationship tendencies and things like that. And so, yeah, this is just me not knowing that much information and just me wanting to give the person, yeah, my like little tender heart, give them the benefit of the doubt that they're actually having good intentions and wanting to make the relationship work. So
I'm looking at this through my attachment lens, which is the avoidant attachment lens. And with that, avoidants are not good with being vulnerable whatsoever. So when something happens and they feel like their autonomy is being taken from them or their independence or they're having to basically rely on somebody else to soothe them or anything like that, they immediately become defensive usually. That's why you'll see this in relationships when it's typically the man that's an avoidant. When he starts to get vulnerable, he pushes you away and like tells you like, I'm going to go in the garage and deal with this myself. Well, that's what I'm kind of seeing here is that like this person potentially, when she talks about the issue with the vulnerability and not wanting that person there, it's like probably in that moment she was like, okay, she was breaking down because of everything that was happening. And it's like, it's almost how, yep, a normal person would feel maybe embarrassed or something. It's more, but hers is coming from an anger, like, get away from me. Like, I need to deal with this. But then it's like that person's there and then you're mad, you just let it happen. And then you're mad later that you allowed yourself to be in that vulnerable spot. So I could see it from that perspective. And then as an afterthought though, it's, I feel like, yes, kind of like Kelly, what you were saying in the beginning, where he may have taken that to his advantage in that he wanted to like resolve the relationship or whatever was happening there, talk about what happened.
Totally.
But he also took that opportunity, I think, in the right way to shut, because he could have easily have just kept pushing on about, you know, what he was there for. But instead, he was consoling her and was actually like there for her. And regardless if she wanted it or not, like she was letting it happen, you know, it was happening. So like, that's pretty cool that happened. So I mean, I feel like, yeah, at the end of the day, I think she was pretty much being an asshole. I think that but that might not be necessary. I don't want to say fault, but it's like it's probably a part of whatever it was she was going through. And again, attachment is, and how we communicate, all that stuff is a big player there. So
do you think, yeah, that like if because she, I guess I don't want to fault her in that scenario where she's feeling vulnerable and she allowed herself to be comforted to say that she's an asshole, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think there's a gray scenario there. Maybe nobody's the asshole in this, unless people were taking this particular scenario to, you know, create an advantage for themselves, well knowing that they were like taking advantage of somebody in a, well, you know, a not great state, and then like expecting a response. That's the thing that I struggle with. Like, a lot of human connections happen when people feel vulnerable and then they let themselves feel vulnerable at the same time. That's the line where you're like, okay, if you have to have somebody so vulnerable in that state to be true to yourself, like how healthy of an individual are you and secure in yourself? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the struggle with humanity. Like, I don't, nobody can feel truly secure with themselves until they take advantage of another person. But we could cut this out too. That feels a little deep.
Well, I get what you're saying. And I think no, that whole, like, true. Especially when it gets thrown in your face, like, okay, I was vulnerable. And that's part of where that trauma comes from. Typically with the avoidant, like, you were vulnerable, it got thrown in your face, and now you're not allowing yourself to be vulnerable in front of everyone. That's why it's mostly men, because they're not allowed to cry. And if you cry, then you are, it's thrown in your face that you're a baby, you know, whatever it is. And so then you have to suck it up and you have to go deal with it on your own. So then if it's ever held against you and ever made you feel you like you're any less than because of it, then you're not going to ever do it. And so I think that's big, because if that was thrown back in that person's face, then yeah, absolutely. I could totally see. I feel like her getting super mad at him for like being there for her was kind of an asshole move.
Yeah. Okay, should we switch to the next question? Did we actually decide that was like a vague, no one is the asshole in that scenario, I guess?
Yeah, and I don't really know. I was also thinking about the making out with person in front of him. I feel like that was probably an asshole move, but I don't know.
Yeah, she could have had a lot more grace in that scenario. And yet, I understand that there is grief and she's dealing with a lot. And yet, he could have been more understanding and she could have been a little bit more gracious. But I don't think that there's an asshole in this scenario. That just feels like regular life. Like, that happens to people, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah, I think so too. Yes. Right. Yes. All right. So am I doing number two?
Let's move to Kelly's number two, if that's okay. Let's get her.
All right. I'm going to do my boyfriend is choosing the dog over me. Okay. I am 21 and my boyfriend is 24. We have been together for over a year. We live together and are very happy. He had a dog when we got together. Let's call him Dingo. I love the dog. She is very sweet and funny and very playful. However, a few months ago, we got another dog to keep Dingo company and to have a friend when we're at work. I liked the other dog in the beginning. However, the previous owner said that he was potty trained and very well behaved. He is not. He uses the bathroom in our house all the time and I am left to clean it up. He eats all of my shoes and my underwear. He never touches my boyfriend's things. Dingo has started to use the bathroom in the house as well and follow his bad behavior. My boyfriend doesn't clean up after him either. I've tried everything to get both dogs to stop going to the bathroom in the house and to get the other dog to stop eating my things. Nothing has worked. I have explained to my boyfriend that I can't do all of this by myself and that maybe we need to get rid of the other dog to get Dingo to have better behavior. He refuses and it makes me feel like I'm not even a priority to my boyfriend anymore. There's like a little bit of an edit. It says, I have already taken him to behavior classes. The teacher said he was fine. I trained Dingo at the beginning, the first dog, and he was not trained when I met my boyfriend. They're the same breed of dog. I understand that doesn't mean they'll always be the same and the same way to train. They both get lots of walks and have many toys and treats. I've had many dogs in the past and they have never had this type of behavior issues before. Am I the asshole?
Kelly, give us your take first and foremost, because you, in my mind, have dealt with the most dogs and the variety of dogs and the behavioral variety of dogs.
Yeah, dog things are hard and dog ownership is hard because everyone has a different level of what a trained dog is. And so I feel like this is just like a good indicator of like their relationship and like having a kid with this person would look like, because they're going to have different like parenting styles and everything. Yep. But that's just a whole other subject. But yeah, so it's very hard. Obviously, I don't know what their housing situation looks like, but it depends on how long they're gone at work during the day and how long you're expecting the dog to hold their potty for. I feel like it's very hard to expect a dog to hold their potty for more than like 6+ hours. And so if like, and I'm assuming most people work longer than that. And so it's just like, I don't know. And so it's hard if, I don't know. You can't expect the dog to be alone in the house all day.
Do you advocate for her to get like, rid of the second dog, knowing that the first dog was better trained without the additional disruption?
I mean, that's hard because if Dingo was doing it, but it might not have been healthy.
Right.
Because, yeah, some dogs can hold their pee for 12+ hours, but it's probably not healthy. I know some dogs, like some dogs in my friend group, their dogs can hold their pee for a very, very long time. It might not be the healthiest thing, but some dogs would never even think about going potty in the house, which is great. But yeah, it could be that it is just like, oh, this dog's doing it. Why can't I do it? Or it could be like a marking thing. You know, if this dog is going potty in the house, then like they want to mark and all that kind of stuff as well. It also could be like a neuter, spay neuter type thing. If they're like marking their territory and all that. So there's like a lot of things that go into it. I also just feel like if they're not agreeing on like this level type of behavior, there's like probably a lot of other issues that are also going on. And so I just feel like this is like just the tip of the iceberg. True. So I feel like I also believe that like a lot of people just should not be dog owners. And this is like the prime example of people who should not be dog owners. So yeah, it makes me very sad. And I don't know, like she's not the asshole for not wanting her dogs to like pee and poop in the house. So like, I don't really know what like the best case scenario
I feel
is,
like...
but she also can't expect a dog to hold its bathroom for like a very, very, very long time.
The asshole of the scenario is the boyfriend who will not help her pick up clean, you know, the stuff that happens in their house. Like, obviously, your dog is not trained to know and respect that your living space is not toilet area. So I don't know. That's my vote. What do you think?
Well, I kind of look at this as a like as the perspective of it's exactly for again what Kelly was saying about like the other issues. Imagine they had a kid, and like the man is not helping like clean up after the kid, and it's like, well, this is your kid. Like, figure it out. And it's like, you know, this could be just foreshadowing. Like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe they're not working together. They're not simpatico, exactly.
Simpatico.
Like you got to be able to work together to like, you know, do this kind of stuff. And like, I'm not a dog person, so, and I know this, that kind of goes back to what you're saying too, like some people should be dog owners and some people shouldn't. And like, for me, no, there's I'm not gonna have a dog. I work 10-hour shifts. There's no way I'm going to come home and there's like shit all over my floor. Not going to happen. And then like keeping them in a crate, I feel like that's inhumane. And then like, what are you going to do? Just keep them in the backyard? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of messed up too, because like the weather or whatever, I don't know. So like, I know for me, I'm good.
Exactly. The self-awareness that in itself, the self-awareness that you have, that is not, well, yeah, a dog shouldn't just get to see you for like 4 hours a day. Like, that's very sad. So
yeah. And then to be mad, I don't know, like that you either need to figure it out or like don't be a dog owner. Like, figure it out, either go move, figure out your own thing, because the two of you are not, you're not working. Like, that's,
I think,
not
that
I don't know
if she realizes this now and she has the conversation with her partner and knowing that like I am not comfortable with having a child knowing that you aren't supportive in these areas. Like, be more upfront with your expectations, line them out, have a contract, whatever you need. Just like, be vocal about that and not afraid that that person might leave you, and good riddance, you know, like, Because you don't want to find yourself in a scenario where you're like, I am drowning and I have no one else to look to. Because that's where she's at right now. Like, imagine that 2 or 3 times up the pressure. That would be awful. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Anyway. Right. Okay. Let's move to the next one. Kelly, give us your second Am I the Asshole thread.
Wait. Danelle, do you, I want you to do your second one first. Do you want to do your second one?
Sure. So mine's real simple. Basically, am I the asshole for naming my child a different or a difficult to pronounce and spell name? So I saw this. I've seen this a few times where, like, as an adult, some kids are mad because now their name is, like, super weird and they're having to go through school, all throughout school. They're having to, what do you call it? You're having to correct the teacher when they're saying their name. They're having to do all that. And then the spelling, too. It's like, why didn't you just spell my name normal? So parents think, oh, it's so cute. I'm going to do this. But, like, are they, I mean, is it really, like, kind of, they're kind of an asshole for, like, it's not their name.
Sure.
Like, so that's mine. That was mine.
Kelly?
I mean, yeah. Do you want to go first? I mean, I can talk about it because my name is spelled weird and I've had to, it doesn't bother me when people spell my name wrong unless, like, it irritates me when, like, someone sends me an email. So, like, you had to type my email in order to send me an email. So, like, you had to type my name in order to send me an email. So you saw my name and how it was written correctly. Yeah. And then below that, you spelled my name incorrectly. So, like, how did that happen? Like, that irritates me. Or, like, on Facebook, you typed in my name, you see my name at the top of my Facebook, and then in my, like, happy birthday post, you spelled my name incorrectly. Like, oh my God, that makes me so mad. Like, that kind of stuff really irritates me. And, like, I don't know. It's, and, like, thanks, Mom, Pa. Like, love you. Love it so much. But, like, it's fine. It's whatever. My last name will forever be whatever. No one will ever be able to pronounce my last name. So I've gotten over that. But, yeah, I feel like I totally understand. And also, it's very funny that you bring this up also because, like, in the first episode that we recorded, I said your name incorrectly, like, the whole time. And now I'm, like, sweating when you were just, like, reading the prompt. I was like, oh, my God, have I said her name incorrectly, like, this time, too? I'm like, oh, my God, have I said it wrong?
No, you're fine.
Tell me right now.
I don't think so.
I think I've said it correctly. I'm like saying it in my head, like, 1,800 times. Like,
okay. I'm sure I'm saying it correctly. Here's how I feel about this. Because it's honestly not, it's not going to cause somebody discomfort or a level of extra thought. And if that level of extra thought is so taxing that you have to be annoyed that somebody got your name wrong in a very very genuous circumstance, right? Like, not an email where they obviously sent and saw your name at the top. I'm talking about, like, hey, I'm meeting you for the first time. I don't know your name. Okay, let me practice at that name. It's the person who decides that your name doesn't make sense in their mouth and that they are going to continuously call you the wrong name because they have to justify their own ability to do that. Like, that drives me crazy. And never in my life have I ever had that problem because I have the most generic white person name. But that is the part that I would be physically confrontational with the person who decided to do that in real life. It never happens in real life. It's always text, email, voicemail, phone call. And it's fine. It's okay. Like, if you get my name wrong, fine. If we are talking on multiple times on the third phone call and you get my name wrong, now we are going to have words because I have words for you, individual who has decided to disregard my respect as a human being and my name that you clearly know you're pronouncing incorrectly. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. So I have two thoughts on that. One, I feel like an asshole because I call you Katie.
It's okay.
Called Kate.
On this podcast, it's Kapler, and I haven't gone by that name since college. So it's fine. I'm a 35-year-old person who still goes by her college nickname. And that's my life. It's fine.
K Kayfler, you are not 35. Like,
I'm
wait,
almost
what?
There.
Do you know? Oh my God.
No, but it makes the point. You know, I'm over 30. I am still the woman who goes by her college nickname.
That's
and
okay.
That's my life.
That's fine. No worries.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My second thought is I, on the regular, have this happen. My name is always, to everyone else, Denali. Always. Like, that is, I now answer to it. I don't, it's very rare that, so if someone actually pronounces my name correctly, it shocks me. Like, did you just say my name right? It's a trip to me because I'm always Denali. It's because of the GMC. So because of that package on the GMC, it's very well known. Oh. Everyone knows. That, yeah, and that came out when I was in eighth grade, so I was called Dion Dubs and all of that. Like, it was a thing, but that's yeah, funny. So I've been called Denali a lot, and like, that is a trip to me, exactly what you're saying. Like, so everyone knows Denali is spelled D-E-N-A-L-I, and I will get emails, I get probably half of my happy birthdays from people that don't know, like, aren't real close to me. Who are my friends on Facebook, but like, we, you know, we've casual, whatever, they will put happy birthday D-E-N-A-L-I, and I'm like, yeah, okay. And then, but it's the A, I have two A's. And so when you talk about like I had an issue with my mom regarding that for a while, because she named, like, I'm named after her best friend's little sister or whatever, but I'm sure she was named after the mountain in Alaska. Well, it's spelled D-E-N-A-L-I, and she gave me an A, and I believe it's because she wanted to call me Dana for short, and, like, I hate that name. No offense to all the Danas out there, but, like, I don't want to be called Dana, and she named me that, I think, to call me Dana, and I never let her call me Dana. So I had a problem with it, because I'm like, why didn't you just, like, spell it the way it's supposed to be spelled so I could get all this cool shit that, like, has Denali all over it. I could go buy a GMC and my name is blasted all over this truck. Like, it would be so cool. Now if I buy one, I gotta knock the E's off and put A's. Like, that's how that's gonna go. But, you know, I was, like, kind of upset for a while, but now I'm like, I don't think I really, like, got excited about it until I met another one that was spelled the same way as me, which was a trip.
Oh, cool.
I was yeah, I was working as a counselor at a school, and I was meeting with students, and one student was like, we have a fourth grader with your name. And I was thinking, oh, how cute. It's probably the D-E-N-A-L-I one. And I'm like, that's adorable. And then I went to the office and I looked the kid up, and no, it was spelt exactly like mine. So I happened to pass by, this is weird, like, I don't know if this sounds like a stalker or something, but I passed by her on the playground and I was like, hey, we have the same name. And, she goes, oh, your name is, she pronounced it Donnelly or something. It was like Donnelly. And I'm like, oh, wow. I pronounce it Denali, but that's beautiful. Donnelly. Yeah, Donnelly. Yeah. And I thought, oh, that's so cute. But yeah, so I was like, we're
no, I
special.
Love it. Like, you're my special. Name has always been Katie and then Kayfler because college and now at the podcast. But honestly, I want to be called Kate. Like, you know this, and you call me Kate. Like, that's what I want to be called, and it's not a big deal. People know me by my name, and yet recognizing and accepting that you want to be called a thing because your name doesn't fit into regular expectations takes courage and bad respect to you, dude. I'm not going to call you Denali.
I have, like...
I'll call you Denali.
Denali is really pretty,
it really
though.
Is.
I have, like, a silly thing that I saw on TikTok. There's this girl posted a video of, like, healthcare workers just see, like, so many names, you know? And she said that they've been seeing, like, the craziest names or, like, baby names, you know, come out in, like, the NICUs and whatever what do you call it? Like, labor and delivery. And they said they saw a girl and it was spelled, okay, how do you think you spell this? It was like a K, a V, I, T, no. K, V, I, L, Y, N.
Wait, K, V, L, Y, I, N.
It's Caitlin. So the K V I I is Roman numeral for 8.
Oh,
So her name is K-V-I-I-L-Y-N. So her name is Caitlin. But the 8 is the Roman numeral 8. Isn't that ridiculous?
I'd be pissed. Yeah. I'd be pissed.
I know. No.
Well, Ruby,
don't do that. Don't, Roman that. Numerals, don't do that.
First of all, Roman numerals don't have phonetic sounds to them. So, like, why do people think?
It was more symbolic. That's weird. And see, no, like, I don't like
agree
it.
With that.
Like,
phonetically speaking, yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I'm going. Yeah. So, anyway. my thought on this is they're the asshole because I know a felony. Don't name your kid Felony.
Oh,
like, what's
my
wrong
gosh.
With you?
That's
what's wrong with you? Don't
child
don't name you. They yes, Sadie went to preschool with a felony, and I was like,
oh
what?
My gosh. That is also Why? Very funny because I saw this other TikTok, and this guy was like, if there weren't like negative connotations, what would be really cute like hick names? And one of them was Felony, the other one was Rifle, and the other one was like. I can't remember the other one. It was like Bullet or something.
Oh,
it's like, oh my gosh. Classic.
Oh my God.
Classic.
Who is...
Yeah,
names are silly because people have very strong feelings about names. I feel like Kaif and I have talked about this
before. I have
before.
Strong
like, people,
feelings about
like,
names.
You can't name your... Like, you can't name your animal after your like someone's kid and, you know, all those kinds of things. Like, people have very strong feelings about names. And, like... I also do. I mean, I have strong feelings about people not spelling mine correctly, but it's fine.
I have strong feelings about the how do I say this? And it's so stupid. It probably doesn't even worth mentioning. But like, your name is where you come from. So if you take light in that, your name can be whatever you desire. I'm not going to yuck your yum, but I also think that there is a historical significance to picking and associating yourself with the community. And, you know, not all of us are as lucky to associate ourselves with the community, but making light of that irritates me. If you're going to name your kid some Felony or Rifle or abject name that it takes light to that scenario, it irritates me. Don't disrespect your child before they're even born to make their own decisions. You know, like, that irritates me. That just shows a lack of awareness and it shows a lack of respect to a human life and that they are deserving of a name that we should respect. I don't know. It irritates me.
Yeah.
Cave has a lot of feelings. Okay, we're moving on. So yeah, we're gonna say the parents are the assholes if you name them something ridiculous.
Yeah, don't name your kid Felony. That's the moral of the story.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna do my last one. Are you guys done? How are you feeling? Okay. So the last one we're gonna do is, am I the asshole for eating peanuts at a baseball game next to a kid with allergies? Looking back, I could be the asshole, but I came back to my seat after purchasing the peanuts to eat at a baseball game, and the person next to me, I don't know them, just for context, tells me that I should not eat the peanuts near them because their son is allergic. I said, I'm sorry, but you're at a baseball game. There's shells everywhere, and it's not like I'm going to be putting them in his mouth. She was adamant that I was a B for even considering eating them and said that her son is allowed to attend a baseball game just like everyone else. I told her she was annoying and that she should expect peanuts and peanut products while at a sporting event. However, it was a kid, so I went to the standing room to eat them and stayed there for the rest of the game because I was too annoyed to go back. And in hindsight, I feel like I may have been a little bit of an asshole because I don't have allergies, but I don't know. It was just like the way she was acting and how she approached the subject.
The fact that he went to the standing room to eat his peanuts tells me that he's not the asshole. I don't understand the significance of the peanut allergy, but from what I understand, if you don't touch it or ingest it, you're going to be okay. So for her to make a big deal about it leads me to believe that the mom is the asshole. But I don't know. I don't know things.
I think the mom should be the first one to talk about this because, yeah, I have a lot of feelings about allergies and things, but I don't actually know the real science behind peanut allergies. So do you want to talk first?
I have lots of thoughts about this because of Ellie. So, like, I know, like, when Sadie had her birthday party, and then as soon as I knew Ellie was coming, I originally was going to have peanuts out on the table, but I know if Ellie even... if somebody's cooking something with peanuts or peanut butter or anything, and she inhales it and it gets into her lungs, she will have a really bad allergic reaction and it could kill her. So, like, I totally understand, like, because I have my insane love for Ellie and knowing, like, how that affects her. Like, so if I think about if Ellie... even though the person didn't know this kid sitting next to me, I'm, you know, regardless, with my knowledge of... what a peanut allergy can do, and somebody said, hey, my son has a peanut allergy, could you please not eat those? And I would have been like, oh yeah, no problem. Like, I wouldn't even thought twice. Like, absolutely not. I don't need to fucking eat peanuts to enjoy I don't like baseball anyways, but regardless, like, I don't need that to be there. But I'd rather listen to the Australians talk about corn dogs.
Right, from the scenario.
Yeah, but it sounded like because he was so like, ugh, I don't want to deal with this. Like, it seemed like there was like...
you could also be like that and remove yourself from the scenario.
But you could also just not eat the peanuts. Like, it's not that big of a deal. I guess for me, it's like, my thought That's process true. Is like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, oh my God, this kid has like, I guess because it's not your kid, that's like his thought process. It's not my, and he even said that in the thing, like, it's not my kid. Right. Like, who doesn't matter? Like, it's a kid who she just said, like, she's,
and
you know.
And yet he removed himself to eat his peanuts in the gallery or whatever. Like, I don't know. You could be annoyed at the scenario and be like, okay, I'm going to remove myself from this situation and not endanger lives.
Well, I think that part of it's great, but I don't know. Was there, if there was any sort of like, I don't know, asshole response to that, I guess that's what I'm basing this off of. Like, if your initial, good, he eventually went to the standing room.
Right, like,
cool.
I don't
but
know
if your
if
initial,
he...
yeah, what was the initial, like, response
we
to that?
Know.
Was it like, yeah, so that would be where I'm coming from, where he's saying, like, no, he's not an asshole if he didn't say anything and he just got up and went to the standing room. Like, congratulations, good job. But he's asking if he's an asshole, right, which makes me think that he said something. Like, you know, like, this isn't my problem. Then she was like, because she said, then she said something or whatever. And then he's like, well, then I just went to the standing room. Like, I feel like, I don't know, common courtesy. Yes, okay, like... this kid shouldn't not be able to go to a baseball game because they have to be in fear that the people around are going to be eating peanuts. Like, I think it's okay for a mom to ask,
totally,
could you not do that? And then common courtesy, if that person's going to be an asshole and just continue to sit there, then I would pick my kid up and move for the time being while they're eating their fucking peanuts and then come back and sit down. I guess that's my thought process on it.
And yet like, he was the one to go to the whatever to eat his peanuts, you know, like, versus making the mom take their child away from the game.
And that's great that he eventually did that. But at the same time, if there was a response where now he made me feel like crap because I asked him to please not do that for my son, and now made this situation about my son feels guilty because this dude had to like walk off because it was his fault because he has a peanut allergy. Like, that's not cool.
Totally.
Just because I was trying to like stand up for my kid, like, you know, like, I don't know. I think it's, there just needs more information.
We do. We need more information for sure. But I think you and I are on the same page. If the mom was, the mom is definitely not the asshole for looking out for her kid, making sure that he is comfortable and he has access to enjoying a baseball game without being attacked from an allergy perspective. And the gentleman who was eating said peanuts, or I don't even know if I would call him a gentleman, just the dude who said the fucking anime, the asshole thread.
Yeah, you just keep gendering everyone, okay, and there's no genders.
Fair
so.
Enough.
There was no gender identified. You're just saying that it's a man
I'm
because
he's
making
he was an assumption. And I don't need to. Fair enough. But the person who said, "Am I eating peanuts?" I had somebody, you know, confront me, and I removed myself from the scenario, which is what I'm understanding from the story. That's like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Correct? Or am I wrong? That doesn't make you an asshole.
I mean,
that's why I don't understand why he's asking that. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Sorry. That just doesn't make any sense. Why is he asking if he's an asshole when he got up and removed himself? That doesn't make any sense.
Unless
he had to have said something.
Yes. We need more information, totally.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do need more information. I think that there are different levels of allergies, and I would say peanut is definitely the worst. And so I think if there's peanut involved, I feel like there's, it's like a no-brainer. You just like don't get involved, especially when it's a child. I think like most of the time they grow out of it, if I'm correct. I don't actually know through and through, but if they don't grow out of it, then like adults obviously know how to like protect themselves and like whatever. But like there are some like allergy things that like, I don't know, people have like all different types of allergies, and I'm around a lot of different type of allergies. Like a lot of my friends have different types of allergies at this point in my life, where they just like know how to protect themselves, and like I know what things are in a lot of different foods now at this point. And so I just think that it's interesting, and it's like a different perspective to try to think about different people. And yeah, and so I just think there's a lot of different scenarios you could put yourself in, and someone just being a little bit more cognizant of like I don't know. I mean, like the foodborne thing, I didn't think about what you said, Natalie, with like the peanut oil and things like that. Like that is wild. Like that is crazy and very scary. But yeah, in terms of just like making sure, like even because like a lot of people now are like gluten free, and then a lot of people are like nut free. And so a lot of the gluten free flours are actually made with nuts now. And so like I have nut free friends and I have gluten free friends. And so like you can't have like obviously make gluten free things with nut flowers. And so it just like gets really complicated really quickly. So anyways, yeah, it just is like really, it's really interesting to be like cognizant of like all these different things. So I just thought it was an interesting subject. And I know that, people, it's really nice to not have allergies. And I think people who don't have allergies really don't think about it.
And I think it's commendable for people who seek out the information that they need to, if they're going to host, it's commendable. And I don't think it's a taboo subject. Just ask. It's totally fine. That's the thing. I feel like a lot of people are weird about asking and they don't want to, but it's important. So ask. It's okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Wow.
Cool. What do you think,
Kate? We gotta wrap it up. Anyway.
Okay. Okie doke.
Happy Sunday. Wow.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
It's so good to see you. To see your face again. Thank you so much for being available for a podcast. We love having you. Like, you're one of the favorites. We've had multiple people reach out to us and tell that they love you. And yeah, we love you as well.
Well, thank you for having
me. Yes. We have people tell us that they love whenever you're on. So thank you for coming.
You have fans.
And we can't wait to have you on again. Yeah. Yay, and we hope you have so much fun in Wisconsin. And tell Katie we said hi and eat all the cheese.
All we want to know, once you come back from Wisconsin, tell us your favorite cheese, your favorite like experience. We want to hear about like all the fancy schmancy stuff that you guys get to, because we want to live vicariously through you. / me. I need to.
Sounds good. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I want to hear all about Ireland, too. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'll do a whole episode.
Oh.
I mean, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. A girl can dream.
I love you, too. Thank you for being candid with us. We love you guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That's all for today's episode of Candidly 30. Hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed chatting. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast and leave a 5-star review. Your feedback helps us make the show even better. Follow us on Instagram at Candidly 30. Thanks for being candid with us.